Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Paul Howard, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, yeah.
We are working together tomorrow.
That's right, we're on the same team this weekend.
God help the book lovers of Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are we doing?
Well, it's part of the International Literature Festival of Dublin, mm-hmm. and we are book doctors this weekend. So essentially, we're going, I think you and I are doing it in Hodges Figgis.
Yep.
Tomorrow afternoon. We are going to be there and we are going to talk to people and write them prescriptions on little prescription pads of books that we think they should read. I don't know if you're like me, Ryan. I get really passionate about,
yeah.
if I find a book that I really, really love, I get really, really intensely
yes.
passionate about it.
Yes.
And I tend to not only recommend it, if I recommend it and somebody doesn't read it, I go and buy it for them and
yes.
force it on them.
Yeah, okay, we're in the same peas in a pod here. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing tomorrow. It does happen, you know. I go through periods of, when I'm working on a book, on a particular piece of research, I tend to read lots and lots of books around that. So I'm not really reading for pleasure; I'm reading
yeah.
for work.
Yeah.
So I there's probably only sort of 10 or 15 books a year I get to read for pleasure. So I don't like to read a book that I'm not enjoying.
Okay. Are you the 50-page sort of guy? Give it 50 pages. If it's not working for you, get out. Or do you suffer through to the end?
I suffer through to the end.
Do you?
And
like
moan
you stay with
and
it.
Complain and yeah. Because occasionally sometimes you read a book and you abandon it and somebody says to you afterwards, oh no, it really got good in the final
third. Yeah, it's called the Goldfinch.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I didn't. It was... I heard so many mixed reports.
Yeah, I know.
About I loved The Secret History. I absolutely adored it. And I heard a lot of mixed reports about The Goldfinch. And then the other thing is, it's a big book, you know. So I kind of thought,
yeah.
that's a holiday book for me.
Yeah, if you have a holiday, it is a holiday book.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
If, for example, in the last 6 months to a year, what's knocked your socks off, as it were?
Well, I've just finished reading Undisputed Truth, which is Mike Tyson's autobiography. Absolutely loved it. I think it's probably the best sports autobiography I've ever read.
Really? That
yeah.
Much?
I mean, there's a terrific... Andre Agassi's autobiography is great, and it's really sort of painfully honest. Mm-hmm. I really hate sports autobiographies, which give you a kind of a sort of clean version of the life that the sportsman has lived. This has absolutely everything.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to say it's warts and all. There are sections of this that are just all wart.
Right.
I mean, it's really incredible. And I was a huge fan of Mike Tyson's. But it's a great book. There's another one called I just finished, called Man on the Run, Paul McCartney in the 1970s by Tom Doyle.
Well, you know you're talking to your brother there. Go on.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really good. And it's a period of his life I didn't know too much about. I mean, I knew all about the 60s Paul McCartney and the latter-day Paul McCartney, but not the 70s McCartney. It was really, really good. I just read John Ronson's You Have Been Publicly Shamed.
I was banging on about that on this show because I thought that was a cracker.
Yeah. All about people who've had their lives destroyed by saying something intemperate on Twitter.
I thought he wrote that really nicely as well. It wasn't preachy. It was just intriguing. It was like reading a documentary.
Yeah, that's exactly. It was very. Yeah, it was almost like it was filmed, wasn't it?
Yes.
With lots of set pieces along the way.
Mm.
Absolutely loved that book. I tend to read. I don't read a huge amount of fiction.
That's what I was going to ask you next.
Even though I write only fiction,
yeah.
But I think the book I'd probably buy for most people and push on them, well, there's two in particular, Me, Cheetah, which is the story of Tarzan's chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Incredible book.
Written as the chimpanzee, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the autobiography of the chimpanzee, and it's really, really brilliant. And there's a terrific book called I, Fatty, which is the... It's a book about Fatty Arbuckle, Arbuckle,
right, okay.
the old silent movie star whose career ended in disgrace. And it's It's kind of written as an autobiography. It's by a guy called Jerry Stahl.
Yeah.
And he went and researched his life and then researched the language of the time. So it's actually written in his voice. It's really, really brilliantly done. I recommend that to absolutely
and
everybody. And
what is that book's relationship to the truth and the facts?
Well, Jerry Stahl says it's completely true to the facts.
Okay.
I think he feels that he was the victim of a miscarriage of justice. He was convicted of rape and his career ended, but he felt that he was Jerry Stahl felt that he was fitted up, and it was part of this effort to sort of clean up Hollywood. Hollywood was kind of seen as some kind of sort of Sodom and Gomorrah at that time, and that there were efforts to clean it up, and he felt that he was fitted up for this. But it's really, really brilliantly done.
Okay.
It's a terrific book.
It's going on my list. I'm kind of taking a cheeky prescription from you now as you're talking. I'm going, right, yeah.
I was
going
to give you one tomorrow anyway.
Oh, God.
You will probably give me one too.
No question. There's so much good stuff out there. And you presume you're like myself. You just love the idea of walking into a bookshop for an hour and just taking it all in and looking at covers and flicking pages and just enjoying the smells.
Yeah, and it's why I've never, ever taken to the Kindle.
Yeah.
I own a Kindle,
yeah.
On that Kindle, I've got the 100 classics that come free with it. I've never put a book on it. I like to go into a shop. I like the smell of the books. I like the feel of them. When I'm reading a book, I like to feel the progress I'm making through it. You know, I like to feel that I'm reading Keith Richards' Life at the moment, and
I heard that's great.
Yeah, and I'm kind of savoring every page.
Yes.
But I'm looking at it here beside me, and I only seem to be about one tenth of the way through the thing. But I like that, you know. I like that feeling of knowing exactly where you are in a book, which you don't get with a Kindle. When I pick up a Kindle, I really feel like I'm working when I'm looking at a screen, which is what I do all day.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So, but I just love going into bookshops and spending a couple of hours there. The problem is I always come out with empty pockets. You know, if I have any money in my pockets,
and
I
books
always
you don't books you don't necessarily need, and to add to the pile that you already have that you said I must read someday.
Well, it's a very healthy thing, I think, to have more books than you can ever possibly read.
And funny, I was saying to only two friends of mine yesterday about, we were talking about kids and kids and reading, and I would say the one thing that I never refused the girls down through the years when they said, can I have, was a book. If they wanted two or three, if you can afford it, do it. I never refuse a child a book or the library or, you know, any of that. Once they're reading, it's great.
Because I remember the first book I ever read was a book called Fungus the Bogeyman. And it was by, I've had a blank on his name now, but he wrote The Snowman.
Raymond Briggs.
That's it, Raymond Briggs.
Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
This was a terrific book, but it was also a little bit taboo because he was a bogeyman. He was a man made of snot.
Yeah.
So I remember my mother seeing it and you know, I was marched back to the library with it, but not before I read every page of it.
Of course.
And that really, Fungus the Bogeyman really got me interested in reading as a kid.
Yeah, I know you got a horrible Henry and anything by Jacqueline Wilson. I mean, the kids are being well looked after. The Dark Diaries, the Wimpy Kid books. And
yeah, and David Walliams books.
They're
terrific. I've read all of those. And there's that, you know, that little kind of naughty element in it as well that he gets away with, but kids love that kind of stuff. You know, anything that's a little bit bold.
The bolder, the better.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'll be seeing you tomorrow. How's Ross O'Carroll Kelly coping with a year on from Brian O'Driscoll's departure? is he in withdrawal symptoms, or what's he?
He's never really gotten over it, though. And now Gordon Darcy is gone.
Oh God, it must be a terrible time for him.
You know, and Paul O'Connell's retirement is to come. You know, in Ireland at the moment, it's kind of we're facing into a decade of anniversaries, historic anniversaries. Well, Ross feels he's facing into a decade of retirement, that all these kind of heroes. And of course, as he played with all of these guys when he was at schools level.
Yeah.
So as each of them retires, he realizes that there's a very good chance it might not possibly happen for him now.
Yeah, he's still coming to terms with that. Yeah, it's a tough time.
I just finished about a week ago, the next Ross O'Carroll Kelly book. So that's out in September, and it's called Seedless in Seattle. There's a vasectomy.
I thought it might be going that way. I love that pause as you wondered, do they know what I'm talking about?
That's the effect of fungus of Ogi.
I was going to say, fungus took you along, it took you all the way. And you know, you must have that sense of a satisfaction when you press the button for the last full stop on a book, do you?
Huge, it is. It's huge for me because I tend to live a book for the sort of 3 or 4 months it takes me to write a Ross book, you know, and I work on it for about 10 hours a day. And, you know, I think in that voice when I'm writing, you know, I'm not thinking beautiful thoughts while I'm writing Ross. I'm thinking in that really, really bombastic, idiotic way that Ross speaks. And you do that for 10 hours a day, 5, 6 days a week, for 3 or 4 months, you know, at the end of it.
I mean, are you a difficult person to live with then? When you're, I mean, can you leave him at the computer or do you bring him to the dinner table?
No, I don't. I mean, sometimes Mary will say to me at the end of the day, that's a Ross line.
Okay.
and I quickly have to snap out of it, you know. But switching off, to be honest, like I drive to work, so I have a commute. I drive for about an hour. So during the hour, that's my decompression time. That's when I have to sort of get out of character.
So you don't work work at home then, obviously.
Well, yeah, I have a house down in Avoca in Wicklow, and I work from there. And so that commute really does help, you know, because if I was rolling out of the bed and going to the computer and then, you know, and then finishing, I need that time, you know, that time just to sort of put the radio on or put a CD on or something.
Just to get away from that.
And turn off, yeah.
The creatures. You're on between 2 and 3 tomorrow, Paul. I'll see you. You'll be handing the baton to me.
And you're 3 and 4.
I'm between 3 and 4. And then Sarah Bannon's on after me and Peter Sheridan on after her. So it's a relay, but it'll be a lot of fun for Alone.
We should say as well that it's actually for a really good cause as well. It's for Alone. Who do extraordinary work in highlighting the plight of older people living alone, and they have a great army of volunteers who, you know, befriend people who are kind of living in isolation and on their own. So there's a great cause as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Listen, Paul, thanks for your time this morning. It's good to talk to you. I'll see you on tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.